Amen. Give God some praise this morning. He is a good God. He is a good God. Thank you for being here with us at Life Community Church. If this is your first time with us, we welcome you here. And let me just tell you this. Normally, we don't have this big contraption on stage with us. Part about being a mobile church is that sometimes you show up and there's just stuff there. But you know what? Our setup team, a lot of people don't realize this, but every Sunday morning about 7:30, a group gets here to assemble all this together. There's always room for more, by the way. And aren't you thankful that they were able to make this work today and to be able to come here? Yeah, aren't you great thankful for them that they come and serve? And we are grateful for that. And next week, as Taryn does an Easter choir, we now have risers. How about that? You know, so it works out pretty cool. I want you to take your Bible this morning. It's in your sermon notes. Open up your bulletin. Get your sermon notes out. Get your sermon notes out. Get your Bible out. Let's look at Scripture today at God's Holy Word, Matthew chapter 21. Today is a unique day. It is called what? What is today called? Palm Sunday. And with that, there's a reason for that, and we're going to talk about that. It is the beginning of Holy Week, and we're going to dig into the Scripture today of the famous Palm Sunday passage. Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 1, it reads this. When they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus then sent two disciples, telling them, "Go into the village ahead of you. At once you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you should say that the Lord needs them, and immediately he will send them." Jesus was not in the habit of calling himself Lord, but this is a clear indication of one time that he did, of where he was identifying who he was as he was on his way into Jerusalem. This took place so that what was spoken to the prophet might be fulfilled. "Tell daughter Zion," the prophecy said, "look, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of a burden." The disciples went and did just as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they laid their robes on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their robes on the road. Others were cutting branches in front of the tree, branches from the tree, and spreading them on the road. And the crowds who went ahead of him and those who followed kept shouting. These are the songs that we just sung. This is where it comes from. "Hosanna to the Son of David. He who comes in the name of the Lord is the blessed one. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds kept saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Father, may you add blessing to the word today. And Lord, may it speak to us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. In this passage, Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. And it will begin the last week of his life before the cross and before he rises from the dead. As he approaches Jerusalem, he knows what awaits for him. It's going to be a week that's full of a lot of activity. He's going to cleanse the temple. If you remember that story, that's going to happen in that week. He's going to be anointed by Mary during that week. He's going to have the Lord's Supper that week where he takes the bread. He will be crucified, flogged, and crucified that week, buried. And then on Sunday, he will rise again from the dead. Jesus Christ was beginning on Palm Sunday, the biggest day of all of history. And he was entering into Jerusalem knowing what awaited him. If you back up just the next chapter, the previous chapter in the book of Matthew, you'll see where he predicts that he's going to Jerusalem to die for the sins of us, for the sins of the world. Palm Sunday is the beginning of what we call Holy Week. It's the most sacred week for Christians, where we gather and we remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This week, this church is going to participate in some Holy Week activities to set our minds and our hearts on Jesus. Today, we begin Holy Week by remembering what he did. But on Thursday night, we've been invited with Apollo Heights Baptist Church, and we're going to celebrate what we call Maundy Thursday, which is the Thursday when Jesus gave the Lord's Supper, and he washed the disciples' feet. And we're going to go to Apollo Heights, and we're going to share the Lord's Supper with them that evening, and that's going to be great, and I hope you come. On Friday, Good Friday, I'm encouraging you all to spend that day in solemn reflection about what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And then on Saturday, we have an awesome opportunity. We have a team of people here at the church that's rented a shelter. We're going to have what we call a walk through Calvary on Saturday at Legion Park. And that's for our church, and whoever wants to come, we invite them. There's going to be different scenes reenacting that Saturday, the Saturday after Jesus had died. It'll be really neat. Who all's going to be in that? Raise your hand. A couple of you guys are doing that. So you'll have to come Saturday to Legion Park and do the walk through Calvary. On Sunday morning, Wing Avenue has invited us to do sunrise service with them over on their property. And we're going to do that. And then we're going to gather here at OCTC and have a wonderful Easter celebration for resurrection. King will say, why make such a big deal with all these activities, with all that we got going on? Why a big deal about this week? Can I tell you? Because this week is a big deal. This week is a big deal. This is when Jesus entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, knowing what he was going to do for us. Well, Kenny, if it's such a big deal, why aren't more people talking about Palm Sunday? Why aren't more people doing this? I went through McDonald's today, and as I normally do on Sunday mornings, and I said, Happy Palm Sunday. And the lady said, what's that? I said, well, that's the day Jesus initiated Holy Week, and it's the day that he came in. See, nobody's talking about Palm Sunday. You turn on the news. Nobody's talking about Holy Week. Nobody's saying anything about that. Instead, when you turn on the news, what are you hearing? Politics, 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 politics. And what? Some more politics. And man, it's not even November yet, and I'm already ready to gag. Anybody else today? I mean, I'm already ready to gag, and I'm not pro-Republican or pro-Democrat today. I'm just nauseous is what I am today with everything that's going on in with politics. And this is all you're hearing about in this wonderful, wonderful Holy Week. All that's on the news is politics. Now, I know that this election year is very important. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I know that the next leader will introduce policies and will introduce things that will affect our country and will affect the entire global issues. And I know you're praying about the right candidate to support. I know you are. But here's the reality. No matter who we get in the White House, no matter who it is, they're not going to be able to fix everything. Did you know that? See, I've got issues in my life. I do. I've got troubles in my life. Things that I deal with in my life. Question, anybody else got issues in their life? Yeah, I think we do, don't we? And the reality is that there is no politician you can elect that's going to fix that. I mean, you start talking about serious issues like life and death, a sense of purpose, your guilt, your shame, what you're dealing with, pressing forward, keeping your family together. What politician can you elect that will ever fix that? What politician can you ever do that will fix that? Because the reality is all of these people are flawed. There is no perfect candidate. They are all with sin in their life. Every one of them has sin in their life. And our sinful condition requires help. Their sinful condition requires help. So there is no politician that's going to give us the help that we need. It's not going to happen. The kind of help that we truly need today at Life Community Church is a spiritual help. It's a forgiveness of sins, knowing that if we were to die today, that heaven is home. It's knowing that when we wake up in the morning, we have a reason to breathe. We have a reason to get out of bed. We have a reason to have purpose in life because of what has happened inside of us. And the reality is, there's only one person that can bring that to you. Just one person that can bring you forgiveness, purpose, heaven. Only one person that can do this. And the reality is all of our lives need this help. It needs governing. It needs peace. And some of you are thinking this, well, Kenny, I don't want to turn my life over to somebody. I want to be in control of my own life. Well, that sounds good. But how much control are you in when your pipes bust and your house floods? How much control are you in when you're driving down the street and a wheel falls off your car? How much control are you in when you wake up one day and you're sick? See, we can't control life. It's impossible. We are constantly met with variables and unknowns that are constantly flying at us. How in the world are we going to fix ourselves when we are spiritually broken? It ain't going to happen. We're all sinners. We're all in disrepair. We need somebody to guide and lead us into a new way of living. And for us, it's not a politician. We don't need to elect anybody. But instead, we need to submit to the person who is already the king. Did you know that today? It's the king. This is the big idea today. Are you ready? We need King Jesus in our lives. I need Jesus to be the king of my life. You do. You need Christ to be in control of you, of how you live, of how you think, of how you function. You need Jesus in the center of your life, because when he is in the center of your life, he stops everything from spinning out of orbit. He stops everything from going into chaos. And in this wonderful story, Jesus is going into Jerusalem to begin the process of what we call Holy Week, where he would die on the cross, knowing that he was going into that. He willingly went into that to be the king. And when they shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna," and they waved the palm branches and they put the coats on the ground, they were acknowledging that they wanted a king. But sadly, the king that they wanted was the king to overthrow Rome. They wanted somebody that would come in and get the Romans out, because the Romans were occupying Jerusalem. So when they were laying down the palm branches and shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna," to Jesus, you know what they were expecting? They were expecting somebody to come in and dispose of Rome. That's what they thought. But when Jesus was coming in, he wasn't there to get rid of Rome. He was there to get rid of our sin. Because you know what? Our sin was a much bigger problem than Rome. It's still a bigger problem than Rome. And when Jesus went in to Jerusalem, he initiated the events that would be necessary for us to be saved, which makes him worthy today and qualified to be our king. So you may ask this question, Kenny: why should I welcome Jesus as king of my life? Why should I want Jesus, welcome Jesus? Why should I be willing to have Jesus as the king of my life, telling me what to do, telling me how to live? Why should I want Jesus to do that? Let's look at this story quickly. Three things. First, here's why you need Jesus as king of your life. First, he is the king that brings the hope I've been waiting for. Question: have you ever longed for hope? You hope a test result turned out different. You hope a situation resolved itself. You hope the marriage got better. Anybody ever hoped before? Man, I tell you, when hope is dying, that is a sad situation to be in, when you feel hopeless. But with Jesus, he is a king that brings hope. Look at this story. When they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples and he told them, "Go into the village ahead of you at once and you'll find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me." So basically, go into this village, you're going to see a mama donkey and a baby donkey. You untie both of them, because the baby donkey is going to need, or the young donkey is going to need the mama donkey to walk with her. And if anybody ever says, "What are you doing? Why are you stealing my donkeys today? Why are the disciples committing grand theft donkey?" All right, so why are they doing this? Why? You're to tell them this, that if anybody says this, you're to tell them that the Lord needs it. The Lord needs us, and that we will immediately return it. So this is the first example of biblical enterprise donkey rental. This is what is going on. And this took place so that what was spoken through them might be fulfilled. And there's this wonderful prophecy. And the prophecy, kind of a combination of different scriptures that Matthew puts together: "Tell daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." So Jesus, before he enters Jerusalem, obtains two donkeys, mama donkey and a colt. Now, don't misunderstand what the writer is saying. He didn't straddle both and go in, all right? He was only on one, but the mama donkey walked next to him to keep the young one calm. That's why the mama donkey was there. That's why there's two of them. And Jesus mounted that, and he rode that donkey. And you know, this morning, when I was doing my study time, I said, you know, I want to get a picture of this. I Googled Jesus videos this morning of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. You know, it's kind of funny looking, to be honest with you. You know, I don't know if you ever seen somebody riding on a donkey, but it's not like a horse. I mean, you know, they're not as big. And, you know, you got a young donkey on top of that. And, you know, you think about the king coming into Jerusalem. What do you expect? You expect a war horse, right? Big, beautiful, white Mustang rolling into that place and just saying, I'm the king and I'm coming. Like a military conqueror here to overthrow Rome. But no, you got Jesus with some coats laying on top of the little donkey. It's riding in. And you think, man, that is an odd picture of Jesus riding into Jerusalem. But this was the prophecy. When Christ came, he was not coming as the overthrower of Rome. He was coming gentle and with humility and with peace. The donkey was the military symbol of Jerusalem, but it was the military symbol for their kings, for the kings of Jerusalem. It was their military symbol of not war, but of peace. And when Jesus comes in, he's riding on the donkey of peace. A donkey of peace. Today, what animal represents peace? The dove. Interesting enough, as we're talking about the donkey of peace, this morning during setup, we had a dove get loose in here, flying here, flew around this morning and scared the pants off of me this morning. True story. There is no dove poop, to our knowledge, anywhere around here. It flew into a piece of glass. Chris Simmons grabbed it, carried it outside. True story. Welcome to Mobile Church. That happened this morning. But the donkey was a symbol of peace. And he rode in on peace. He rode in. So different. So different. They were hoping that Rome would be overthrown. But it didn't. It didn't. Instead, he came to overthrow sin. Now listen, with that being said, there are all kinds of prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus coming. You just get to Genesis chapter 3, and the very first prophecy of Christ is right there. And all the way through the Old Testament, I mean, almost every book of the Old Testament, there's something in there about the coming of Jesus. There's something in there that Christ is coming. And as much as we can look back and see that, the people in that day and age didn't understand it. They didn't comprehend it. Even when he was still rolling in and they were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, they still did not understand that this was the king who was going to die. They had a misplaced hope. Now, we need hope because of all the troubles and trials that we deal with. But do we ever misplace our hope? For example, are we thinking that America completely rides on a politician? If you think that, you've misplaced your hope. Or maybe you think that all your hope is on your spouse or on your career, but what happens when your spouse is sick or what happens when you lose your career? You cannot misplace your hope. Instead, you need a hope in a king that is tested and approved and knows what he's doing. A king that has fulfilled prophecy, that will fulfill more prophecy. A king that died, was buried, and rose again, who's coming again. And the hope, if we have Jesus as our king, is that one day we will die, but buddy, we still win. That's a hope. A reason that Jesus needs to be your king today is because there's hope in Christ. There is hope in Jesus. Listen, if you know Jesus, no matter how bad it gets here on earth, it's as bad as it gets. It's as bad as it gets. Now, if you don't know Jesus, this is as good as it gets. Well, that's a other side of the coin, isn't it? But if you know Jesus, this is as bad as it gets. And there is a hope in that. That's why he's my king this morning. That's why when he rode in with peace and he brings peace to my life. But second, he is a king that brings the salvation that I need. He's the king that brings the hope I've been waiting for, and he brings the salvation that I need. Look what happens. A very large crowd spread their robes on the road. They were cutting branches from the trees, and they were spreading those branches on the road. Then the crowds who went ahead of him and those who followed kept shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. He who comes in the name of the Lord is the Blessed One. Hosanna in the highest, they cried out. They welcomed Jesus. He's coming into the city. They're waving their palm branches. They're shouting, Hosanna, 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 the Son of David. The word Hosanna, it means, oh, save us. Save us is what it means. Bring us salvation. When they shout it, Hosanna, Hosanna to you, Hosanna, they're shouting what? Bring us salvation. Save us, save us. Now, sadly, they thought what? Save us from who? Their sin? No, from who? Rome. That's who they thought. And they're waving the branches. Save us, son of David. That's a messianic title for Jesus. He's of the line of David, of King David. They're recognizing what? His kingship. Save us, son of David. Save us. Hosanna, Hosanna, son of David. And here's Jesus riding on that donkey with all those coats next to him and the mama donkey, the bigger one next to him. And he's just plodding along. Hosanna, Hosanna. We need salvation. They're asking Jesus to save them from something that one day will be wiped out on the history books. Rome will no longer make it. But yet all they're thinking about is Rome. Jesus is thinking about what? All of eternity. He's thinking about something bigger than Rome. But they can't see it. They can't see it. All they can see is Rome. That's all they can see. They want Jerusalem liberated. But Jesus is coming to do more than that. He's coming to liberate them from their sin. Oh, have we ever asked God for silly stuff? Yeah, we have. I did kind of a little personal inventory of all the silly stuff I've asked God. I'm pretty sure I've asked God to help me find my keys multiple times. I'm pretty sure I've asked God to help me find my shoes, my wallet. I'm pretty sure in the process of putting furniture together that comes in a box, I've asked him to help me to fix it. And then, by the way, and the flip side of that is that God whispered into my ear during that time and said, get somebody else to do this. That's what the Lord spoke to me. I've asked God to help me when I'm running late. God, let me get there on time. Like he is just supposed to speed up the space-time continuum for me because I was late. He's supposed to speed that up for me. And you know what's funny about that in the silly things? Sometimes God has answered those silly prayers for me. He has. I've prayed dumb stuff. And the Lord's answered me on that. And I think about the times, now he doesn't always answer me on that, because sometimes God is saying, Kenny, you need to learn a lesson about how to set your clock. He's taught me that. But here's what I know is that if he's even willing to reach down to the dumb stuff that I need help with, the dumb stuff. Now, come on, I'm not the only one that's asked for dumb stuff. I know y'all. I know you all. If he's helped me in the dumb stuff, how much more will he help me with the big stuff, the important stuff? Rome seemed so important to them at that time, but yet it was only a blip. As powerful as the Roman Empire was, it was still just a blip in history. That's all it was. All they were thinking about was Rome, but Jesus had a much bigger picture of the coming kingdom when we'd be together as brothers and sisters for all of eternity, the coming kingdom of God. So much bigger than what we can imagine. And Jesus came for that reason. He came to die, not to free us from Rome, but to free us from sin. Today, we stand separated from God. There is a division between us and God because of sin, and that will never be resolved until we know Christ. But when Christ came as king, he came as a king to save us from our sin. Third, he is a king that brings the change I'm overdue. I love this story because when he comes in and on that donkey, think about this. This is a homeless carpenter on a donkey riding into the biggest city in that area of the known world at that time, causing such a stir, people waving the branches and everything. This is a homeless carpenter on a small young donkey. And look at the scene he causes. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city, verse 10, was shaken. What was there to shake about Jesus? This was a working man on a little donkey plodding along. If you would have saw this at a carnival, you would have laughed probably, really. What was there to fear about this man? Well, it was the crowds, wasn't it? It was the crowds that he had garnered, that he had collected. That's what they were afraid of. Oh, he's here to overthrow Rome. But you don't really see the Romans causing a scene. Did you know that? Romans aren't scared of Jesus. They care less. Who's afraid of him? The religious leaders are. Rome just says, that's a dude on a little donkey. That's all they say. No problem. We've seen worse. But the religious leaders are nervous. And what does it say? The whole city was what? Shaken. And they said, who is this? who is this prophet? Who is this man? He's coming. He's the prophet from Galilee. That's who he is. Well, he's coming here to overthrow our system, our religious system. He's coming to rip it to shreds, isn't he? Boy, they got nervous. That whole city changed. That week was a week of change. The very next day, you know what he does? There's a reason to be afraid of him, because he had a following. And he walked into that temple. The book of John says he made a whip, a cord, a tied them together. And he started whipping, getting the money changers out of there. He causes a scene. You know, this isn't the hippie Starbucks Jesus that wears sandals and everything's okay, you know. This is like the man's man. And he's walking in there flipping over tables because they're doing pagan stuff in there. And he's clearing it out because he has respect for God's house. This is Jesus. And oh boy, he causes a scene. That's on Monday. He does that on Monday. Lays low on Tuesday. Wednesday, the anointing happens. And Judas gets mad and decides he'll turn him in and betray him and lie about him. And then on Thursday night, takes him to the upper room and they have the supper. And they go out, and he's in the garden on Thursday night, and he's praying. And early, Judas leads a mob, and they bring the mob to Jesus, and they arrest him. And he doesn't even open his mouth. He doesn't even try to stop them. He lets them because he's willingly doing this. And they take him. The mob takes him. They take him to Caiaphas' house first, and he's the religious leader, the high priest. And he just rumbles off a bunch of mumbo-jumbo nonsense, and they charge him with something. Well, surely we can bring him before Pilate and accuse him of being a traitor to Rome. He's a king, right? So let's say he's a rebel. So they take him to Pilate, who was the real big shot. He was the real guy that occupied the land. And Pilate said, there's nothing. This guy didn't do anything. He didn't do anything wrong. I said, oh, but we need to kill him. We need to kill him. Get rid of him. And the very crowd that had welcomed him in on Palm Sunday had left. They were all pilgrims and they had gone back. Jesus had stayed. And now it was just the residents of Jerusalem. And they were there. And this was a different story. He had upset their city. He had upset their city. And the crowd begins to change. There's no more palm branches being waved. No, there is these words. There's not Hosanna. It's not coming from the crowd. The word Hosanna is not coming from the crowd. What's coming from the crowd? Crucify, 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 crucify. Not Hosanna. Not that day. It was crucify, crucify, crucify. On Friday, he was nailed to the cross. That afternoon, he died, took his last breath. City was shaken. It had all changed. He was put in the tomb, stayed in the tomb. And boy, it really shook Sunday, didn't it? But that's next week, amen. It really shook. See, people are so afraid of change because when God does something to your life, he's going to change you. He's going to take you to a new place, a new direction, a new corner that you've never been to. And it's so scary. Jesus freaked these people out because it was initiating the new covenant. It was all brand new and it scared them. But it was the change they needed. It was the change that city needed. It was the change that we needed. It was the change that he brought. Question, take a good hard look at yourself. Do you see anything in your life today that needs change? See anything in your life that you would just love to eradicate or to stop or to improve? I do. Anybody else? Well, here's the deal. You can't do that on your own. It takes the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit of God that we receive because we believe in a risen Jesus. That's the only way we receive the change that we need, is through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are overdue a change today. We should have had this change yesterday, but we're not letting Jesus do it because we're not letting him be the king of our life. Every day we refuse to let Jesus be the king of what we do, of where we go, of who we are. That's another day that we should have changed, that we're not letting God do something in our life. We need Jesus to change us. He is the king today. He proved that. In a different way, when he died and rose again, he is the king. He's the king. And I think back to Palm Sunday when they're saying, welcome Jesus, come save us. And they're throwing the coats down and the palm branches down. And they're saying, save us, save us. Today, have you welcomed Jesus to be the king of your life? Have you opened up the gates of your life and said, Jesus, come on in. You're welcome today. See, everybody has two options with this. They can either reject his kingship, and live a life of anarchy and rebellion. But all that does is lead you into a deeper, darker place than where you are right now. It causes more problems, more issues, more pain, more hurt. And if you die without acknowledging Jesus as your Lord, as your King, you will spend an eternity in hell. Well, Kenny, that's not PC to say that. Yeah, but it's biblical. It's biblical. What happens when you die without Jesus? There is an eternity in hell that you spend. This is why Holy Week is so important. It saves us from this mess. Well, God wants to send me to hell. No, God does not want to send you to hell. How do I know that? Because he went into Jerusalem for you. He loved you enough to get you out of hell. So today, the reality is we either embrace him as the King or we live in our own suffering, our own anarchy, our own rebellion, and we make ourselves the King and we die in the consequences of that. Or second, we embrace Jesus as the King of our lives and we say, Lord, I believe you died. I believe you rose again. I'm choosing to follow you as my Lord and I'm giving my life to you. I was 7 years old when I invited the King into my heart. And I opened the doors of my heart and the King came rolling in. I love this story. I love how Jesus did this. But let me tell you this really quick. When he went into Jerusalem on the donkey, it was not a war horse. It was a donkey of peace. He died for our sins. He rose again. But when you read the end of the book, when it's all said and done, and the trumpet is sounding, and the end of time comes near. And I don't care what your end time belief is, if you're a pre-trib, a mid-trib, a post-trib, a pan-millennialist, an all-millennialist, whatever it is, I don't care what you are, okay? All I know is that at the end, when it's all said and done, you ready for this? He's coming in the clouds, but it ain't on a donkey this time, all right? He ain't riding on a little donkey anymore. Because that time has already come, and it's already gone. But when the end comes, he's on a war horse then. And it's a white one. And you know what? For all of y'all that are against tattoos, he's come riding in with a big old tattoo right there on his leg that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's got some ink that day, all right? He's coming in, and he's riding in, and all the enemies will just be destroyed as he just opens his mouth. And it's all over. It's good to be on the winning side. That's why today it's very, very, very important to embrace him as the King of your life. But now listen. Don't get a scary picture of Jesus from what I just said. Understand that he came into Jerusalem in peace. And until that final day comes, the hands of peace are still open. Amen? For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. They're still open. Today, we want to honor the King. That's what they did on Palm Sunday, right? They honored the King. And we're going to do what we call the Lord's Supper here in just a moment. It's a time when we reflect on Holy Week. Remember on the Thursday, Jesus gave the supper and he told us to remember his death and the bread represented his body and the juice represented, or the wine represented his blood. That's what it was. It wasn't, he never implied that the bread became flesh or the juice became blood. It was symbolism. It was in memorial that we did this. It's how we recognize him. Here in just a moment, we're going to have an opportunity to take the Lord's Supper. Now, it's only for those today that know Jesus Christ. If Christ is in your life, even if you're not a member of this church, if Christ is in your life, you're free to take the supper today. But you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior, not just bread and juice. You need Jesus as your Savior, Christ as your Savior today. That's what you need. But we honor Jesus when we take. We honor the King because he's come into our life and we celebrate him. When we take the bread, we remember that his body was broken for us. When we drank the juice, we remember that his blood was shed for us. We remember that. But today, if you don't know Christ in your life, the most important thing today is for you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to give you an opportunity to do that before you give your life to Christ. We don't need the musicians playing for this. But if today you've never given your heart to Jesus, to the King, I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. Would everybody just really quickly bow our heads before we begin the Lord's Supper process? Would everybody just bow their heads? Thank you. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, to the King, and welcome the King into your life, today, if you would admit you're a sinner, believe Jesus died, and choose to follow Him, He will come in, no matter who you are. Maybe today you'd say, Kenny, I've never done that. I've never given my life to Jesus. Let me today invite you to do that with a simple prayer, but a prayer of submission. The reason they waved the palm branches was to signify victory. The reason they laid the clothes on the ground was to symbolize submission. We must always know that Jesus is the victor, and we must submit to Him. If today, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe you're ready to open up your gates of your heart and invite Jesus in. Would you pray this with me? Dear God, I am a sinner. I need Jesus in my life. I believe He died for me and rose again. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for Your salvation. With head still bowed and eyes still closed, why don't you, if you're a Christian in this moment now, look at your life, examine your life right now, knowing we're about to take the Lord's Supper. Won't you examine your life? Has He been King over your life lately, Christian? You've welcomed Him in, but have you let Him stay in? Is there anything in your life right now that He's not pleased with? Maybe you need to confess that to Jesus today. Give Him permission, access into every area of your life. As the Christians are very silently, meditatively praying over that today, maybe you just ask Christ into your heart and you pray to receive Jesus. If that's you today, I'm not going to call you out or embarrass you, but I would just like to know, if you did pray to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you just slip your hand up and say, Kenny, I did that today. I prayed to receive Christ. Slip it up wherever you are today. God bless you. I pray You'll make that known today. I pray You'll make that known. So, Father, as we go into the Lord's Supper time, may You, Lord, do a great work in our hearts as we honor You as King. We pray in Your name. Amen. Would you look right here? Deacons, would you come and assist me? On that night of Holy Week, the King took bread, and He said, "This is My body. Do this in remembrance of Me." As He broke the bread to feed the disciples, all the disciples from one loaf, it was symbolic of saying that He would be broken for everybody. Father, we thank You for the brokenness of Jesus on the cross, that He died for our sins, that You so loved us, that You died on the cross for our sins. Thank You, Jesus, for the whippings, being nailed to the cross, the crown of thorns, all for us. Thank You, King Jesus. Amen. That night, He also took a cup, and He said, "Drink this in remembrance of Me. It's the cup of the new covenant," meaning that His blood would wash away our sins. His blood would bring forgiveness into our life. The blood of Jesus would do that. When we drank the cup, we remember that it was the shed blood of Jesus that was required to save us. The shed blood of Jesus. Again, it does not become real flesh. It does not become real blood. It is just bread. It is just juice. But we drink of the cup to remember that He died and shed His blood for us, and that it had to take blood for us to be saved. Jesus, we thank You We thank you for the blood that was shed for us on the cross. The blood that never loses its power. The blood that cleanses us of all sin. And in this very holy, sacred time, Lord, we pray, Father, to honor you. To honor you. And thank you for the blood. We pray in your name. Amen. Here in just a moment, as we have prayed over the elements today, we're going to serve the front row first, the praise band. And then the ushers, when they're done, are going to start at the back of the church. And they're going to release each row. And for those that would like to come, you're going to come to the center aisle. You're going to come down on either side. There will be one here and one there. You'll take the bread and the juice, and then we'll have a place to, one of our ushers there will have a place to discard the juice cups for you. I ask you in this moment to be very reverent. The temptation is to talk when we're in line or to kid around. I'm going to ask you not to do that, to abstain from that, and to make this a reflective, serious time, because the body of Jesus was broken for you, and the blood of Christ was broken for you. Praise be. I'll invite you first.